to start with a positive. Before we talk about the football, we're going to talk about the rugby, because it was one hell of a Heineken Cup final in the Aviva Stadium on Saturday evening. A blistering start by Leinster, turned around by Ronan O'Gara and Alton de Lans, La Rochelle.
First line out taken short, and Jack Cullen races away. Back inside to Dan Sheehan. It's the dream start for Leinster. 41 seconds on the clock, and the blue of Leinster hit the front. Slower down a little. Look at this. Reverse pass to Sheehan. Dan Sheehan gets his second try. It's one-way traffic. La Rochelle are being blitzed by a brilliant Leinster performance. At the back with Aldridge. Struggling to go forward. He's kept control of that ball. Out it goes from Dulin. Little short pass. Dante, he's so dangerous. Dante is so dangerous. The wrecking ball has bashed his way over for La Rochelle's first try of the game. Carvalho again. Wardy this time. Out it goes. There's room on the left here. They get the short pass to Jenny.
Backwards initially.
That's what La Rochelle, if you had forgotten what they are capable of. Once again, the tackle have to be made. La Rochelle, they got numbers on the left-hand side here. They're going to keep it tight for the time being. Jean-Henri Cologne! Can he get it down? Jean-Henri Cologne has scored a try for La Rochelle. The pressure has finally paid off. 5 seconds to go. La Rochelle will be Heineken Cup champions back-to-back. Incredible performance. Amazing achievement. And it goes from Hastroy. La Rochelle, Heineken Cup champions once again.
Oh, look at the scenes on the pitch. Players, coaching staff. The Leinster players down on their hands and knees. They actually are stunned. Stunned, and so am I, after that first 20 minutes. What a comeback.
As Gregory Aldridge goes over to his teammates. Your Heineken Cup champions for 2023, La Rochelle. Back-to-back European kings, they've done it in Dublin. They've beaten Leinster once again.
Yeah, there you go. That was how it played out. What a game. 17-0 down after the first 12 minutes and turned it around to win 27-26. Well, one of those who was part of that was Alton de Lans. Kerry man, of course, played with Connacht for many years before he switched to Ronan O'Gara's La Rochelle in 2022. Here he is speaking to Mike Keane. Have a listen. Okay, I think we're going to try and get that audio for you of Alton speaking to Mike Keane about that win. But I have on the line with me Mike Keane, regular contributor, of course, to Radio Kerry Sport, former president of Munster Rugby, of Tralee Rugby Club. We have Richard White, former youth officer of Tralee Rugby Club. Saw Alton in his early teens, of course, knows all about him coming up through the ranks. Good morning to both of you, and thanks for talking to us on the programme this morning. And Richard, I'll start with you. Did you think this day would ever come, or did you know it would always come, that Alton would get to these heights and win a, become the first Kerry man to win a Heineken Cup medal?
Not a bit surprised. Alton always had something extra. He played what was in front of him. He listened, did not question coaches, but asked for an explanation as to how it worked and why it worked. He just soaked up coaching. We were lucky in Tralee at that time that we had some very good coaches. Mike Breen, Adrian Fahey, and the most important of all was Ed Barnes. Ed had prepared Danny, his son, for Ireland 20s and Munster, and he knew what was required. And Alton just thrived under Ed.
Yeah.
Soaked up everything.
Yeah, yeah, incredible, incredible stuff. Listen, we're going to talk more about it with Mike Keane on the line as well. We're going to hear actually from Alton now speaking. Hang on.
After the first 10 minutes, a bit of doubts crept in, but seeing us score the way we did, seeing us take those tries in their 22, seeing us be so effective, that gave us hope. And then the pass on the backs that were given out just before, as everyone was running in the halftime, we just knew there was something there to be gotten. And that was echoed from the coaches and everything at halftime. So there was nothing but pure belief again going out in the second half that, you know, there was a good chance and there was something fragile about them despite how good they took off, you know, despite how good they started. So It took an incredible shift out of everyone to come away with it, but thank God we came on the good side of it. It was incredible.
First Kerry man to win the Heineken Cup, while the McGalway was in the final before, didn't quite make it. So as a Kerry man, Tralee man, huge honour and huge pride in the county, and obviously Tralee Rugby Club. I'm sure there are guys in Tralee who would be delighted. You might name one or two of the guys who helped you along the way.
Who've helped me along the way? I can tell you all the boys are still involved. They're still playing for Tralee, but I suppose the coaching wise, you'd have had Mike Breen, you'd have Gavin, Gav Faye, you'd have Ed Burns, was massive for me. Yourself, Mike. there's too many to name, but Richie White, you Jay Galvin, who both still message me often for each game, and I'm slow to reply, but and Pam Barrett as well, who's been there for me since I've been quite young in Tralee. So but there's more I'm not even thinking of right now, but yeah, I suppose it's for them as well in a way, and I'm hoping to hopefully bring the cup down to Tralee if I can get a little weekend to spare with it.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant. What a day that would be, Richard. The Heineken Cup coming with the first Kerry man to win it.
Absolutely. It would be fantastic to see him around the town with that trophy.
Yeah, it certainly will. Mike Keane, listen, a great day. What a game. I mean, dead and buried, really, after the first 15 minutes. A man down and 17 points down. Did you think it was going to happen for them?
Realistically, Julian, good morning to everyone. And just before we start with an intro like that, Julian, I'm surprised that you haven't been picked for to do the late job, but you know, that's real life.
Not to be, Mike.
Not to be this. Well, I mean, the first 15 minutes, and great credit to Leinster, they opened and they blitzed La Rochelle. I mean, anybody who watched, who had the pleasure of being there or watched it on TV or even on the radio, I mean, the first 10 minutes to be 17 ahead, like they destroyed La Rochelle. There's no two ways about it, and great credit to Leinster for doing that. Obviously, there was a lot of hunger there, and after last year, and I suppose after being beaten by Munster the week before, they certainly knew the ferocity that La Rochelle would bring, because La Rochelle are a huge team. When you see those guys up close, surely, mother of God, you'd want more than Lidl and Aldi to feed them, anyway, Dunn Stores and Super Value to feed them. I'd say, you know, they're huge men. So after 11 minutes, 17-0 down, you know, say, lads, this game ain't going nowhere. But you know, within 5 or 10 minutes at the end of quarter one, it was 17-7, and say, all of a sudden, well, hold on a second now, La Rochelle are starting to wake up here, small bit, and there's something going to happen. Quarter two of the game, Leinster scored again. They were 23-7 up, and then, you know, the Dante scored a try, Cetini scored a try just before half time, and that was made at 23-14. So I was, you know, the opening 10 minutes was completely Leinster, and they were brilliant. Dan Sheehan scoring two tries, Jimmy O'Brien, Jack Conan was immense. Robbie Hinshaw and Dan Lafleur were throwing themselves into tackles. They were like men possessed. I thought to myself, these guys are on a high, they're after taking something. But the fitness of both teams in that opening half was simply incredible, and throughout the whole game. But at 23-14 at half time, you'd have to say that there's something on here. I mean, I've talked to some of the guys at pitchside before the start of the match, and they were saying, look, this is going to be a low scoring game. It'll be mistakes, it'll be penalties, there won't be a whole lot happening, you know, it's going to be tight and dour. But at the end of 40 minutes, there was 37 points on the board and 5 tries. You know, this was like barbarian stuff. If you had these scores in 7 minutes, yeah, rugby, you'd be saying it was a great game. But it was simply phenomenal, that opening half, you know.
Yeah.
And then in the third quarter, La Rochelle started to come back, and just the sheer physicality, Leinster lost their way a little bit, but they didn't have the ball. They just didn't have the ball. And it was mentioned on commentary somewhere, they started kicking the ball high in the air, though. They were kicking, even started that at the start, which is most unlike Leinster. And we were looking down and saying, you know, they've obviously seen a weakness in the La Rochelle wingers under the high ball, and they obviously, it worked for them. But Leinster didn't run a whole lot of the ball. When you look at the post-match stats, surprisingly, Leinster didn't run a huge amount of ball, and they were making way more tackles in defence than there were yards going forward. So
yeah,
that was an interesting stat. I mean, what you were looking at versus the post-match stats. And I suppose we all get caught up in stats nowadays. And as Rod said in the post-match conference, you could have all the stats you like, but there's no stats for character, you know.
Yeah, and they certainly showed a massive amount of character, Mike, when it came to that.
Huge,
Alton coming on for the last crucial 20 minutes as well for that defensive effort right at the line at the very end, which they managed to survive.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Rod would say, and I mean, every coach knows nowadays in modern day rugby, it's not who starts, it's who finishes. It is a 23-man game, 24-man game. That's the way modern professional sport is going, you know. I saw a comment where Eddie Jones calls them the finishers, and Rod calls them the people who make the difference, you know. So yeah. Most matches now at the high level are wars of attrition for the first 50 or 60 minutes, because there's so little space, the teams are so fit, so it's in the last 10 or 15 minutes that spaces are going to open up, you know. Fellas get a little bit tired, and all you want at that level is just a tenth of a second, a 16th of a second is enough.
To
do the damage, you know.
That's the crucial thing. Richard, if I can ask you, look, Alton growing up in Tralee, came along to Tralee Rugby Club. He mentioned all the people that helped him along the way there. A key figure in his life is his late mother, Ellen, who gave him huge support right throughout his career.
She was absolutely brilliant with the two boys. Absolutely a fantastic mother to the two of them. And we kept a Jay Galvin, Mike, ourselves, we kept a great relationship with her. Because she put her boys ahead of everything else, and she understood that we were all looking out for him.
Yeah, and it was a key thing. And look, he ended his time with Connacht and moved to La Rochelle then. That was difficult enough for him as well with regards to it, but like he had the character, I suppose, to be able to do that, and it was the upbringing he got from her. I remember interviewing him a couple of years ago here in this studio when he was making his rise for Ireland. It hasn't been a straight line for him, but he always had that sort of backing and support to continue on with his career, Richard, and it's come to fruition.
Absolutely. And one thing, when we saw the team on Saturday, some people were disappointed that he wasn't starting. We said, Ronan knows where he's at here. He wants Alton to finish this game. He knew what he was doing exactly. And Alton had a storming 15 minutes to close out the game. The game finished at 80 minutes, not 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And one other thing that we were very lucky with as well, when Alton was growing up above in the rugby club, and Mike will agree with me on this one, and Jay as well, we had a lot of good MAR referees, and they explained what you could and could not do. And Alton, the lads got used to discipline, and the referees, that's Munster Association referees, they explained their decisions, and the lads were ready for anything then. They didn't question anything, they listened. And the referees took the time to explain the decisions, and the boys learned their rugby very, very early age.
Yeah, that's an important point, I suppose. Mike, listen, Ronan O'Gara, what a career for him, finally. Two Heineken Cups as a player, two Heineken Cups now as a manager, beating a team full of internationals for the second year running, an astonishing achievement. And even being able to spot the ability and the talent of a player like Alton, take him from Connacht, maybe get some more out of him and put him into a Heineken Cup final in the last 20 minutes to help close out the game. That it takes a talent to be able to do that to players or with players.
Well, there's no doubt. And just pick it up with the last point, and again, it refers back to Roger, I suppose. Ironically, the match programme shows Alton starting at 6 and not coming off the bench. So obviously, things are constantly changing. They're in the state of flux. The only constant is change. But I suppose, look, O'Gara, I mean, he has 2 out of 2, Donegal Ryan. Donegal Ryan, he said in Rod said in his conference as well that Donegal Ryan is the most successful coach in the world. He only started his coaching 2 years ago. He has two Heineken Cup Champions Cup, so obviously he's far better than Rod. No, it's a phenomenal achievement. I mean, in fairness, Leo Cullen, and we have to give credit to Leinster as well. Leo Cullen was the first player to coach to win a medal as a player and to win as a coach as well. Rod has surpassed that now, 2 out of 2. It's phenomenal, of course. But look, it's and Rod would be the first to admit it. It isn't about the one person. It's about the backroom team. And he would have learned that under the tutelage of Declan Kidney, because Declan Kidney always surrounded himself with good quality coaches, you know, guys who knew the specifics of the specific positions, forwards coaches and backs coaches, defence, attack, etc. Alton going to La Rochelle, obviously I suppose he had a discussion with Andy Farrell, and Andy Farrell didn't seem maybe starting for Ireland in the World Cup squad or whatever. So I think it's well reported that Alton had told his mum that he'd like to go back and play rugby in France at some stage. And that was a promise he was able to fulfil. And I suppose, look, the professional rugby game in Europe is a small enough place. Roger and Dunnock Ryan in particular would have been well aware of Alton's ability and what he was able to do. You know, when he left, he was a full international.
Yeah.
And exploded onto the Irish scene. It wasn't as if he was coming out of nowhere from Connacht.
You know?
He was a fully fledged Irish international player who had come a long, long way. So you know, they would have known. And obviously, when word goes out by the agents that there's a fella looking for a change, you know, Raj was quick enough to spot, and I suppose he had a very quick conversation with Dunnock Ryan. Says, you know, can we use this guy? And obviously, they said they can, because he would have been. Traditionally playing at five for Connacht, and Rod saw something. He played most of his rugby in La Rochelle at number six. As I said yesterday, number six seems to be a great Kerry jersey, because Connacht played there for a while. Siobhan Fleming, you know, Kieran Griffin, John O'Sullivan, he played for Munster and Connacht as well. So six seems to be a Kerry jersey kind of thing, you know.
I don't know what's in the water,
but that's something, you know.
There certainly is. Listen, lads, we're going to leave it there, but look, brilliant stuff. We look forward to Alton bringing the Heineken Cup to Tralee and up to Tralee Rugby Club as well. We look forward to that, David. Well done to everyone involved, and thanks so much for talking to us about it on the programme this morning.
You're very welcome, Jolly, and we're disappointed that you didn't make the late.
Very good, very good. Thanks, Mike.